All right, good evening to you all at BBS Radio Online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. This is the Monday call, as we call it, with Winfrey and Terry Brown, and we have as a guest Carla Rucker tonight. It is a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else participating with a call. We just had a few people join in. I welcome you, and if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Hi, Carla.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn from Flagstaff. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
This is Michael in Camino, California.
Good evening, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, man. Good evening to the next caller. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
Ed Jeffrey, North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Jeffrey. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
All right, man. Thank you for being here. All right. Again, those who joined in at BBS Radio, thank you for being here. We still are welcoming those who joined in on the phone line. Wynn has checked in. He's here. Carla Rucker is on her way. And I hope that Terry Brown will also participate with the call tonight. Time will tell. Two minutes away from the hour. Tonight, let me first welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Cleo from Connecticut. How are you, Heise?
I'm doing great, Cleo. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. All right. So tonight's call, we have Carla Rucker as a guest, and Wynn and Carla will be talking about The Law of One, Book 5. And Book 5 was dedicated to Carla's personal experiences that she was going through while bringing through the raw materials, which the transcripts of many sessions, the questions were asked about what was going on. So that will be interesting. Also, this coming Saturday, we do have a Law of One Made Simple session. The number 8 session. We've had 7 behind us. This is a 3-hour call. I advise you all, if you have interest in the Law of One material, to participate. It's quite awesome. So. Again, I welcome all those on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. It is...
We're all waiting for Wynn, huh?
Wynn is here. I think he's checking in on Carla, that he's going to dial her in.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, hi, Wynn. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name or location. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
Hi, doing good.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Good to be here.
All right. Have you checked in on Carla, Wynn?
Is Wynn here? Wynn
is here. Yes, he is. There is Carla Rucker. Do I got that right?
That's
Wynn coming back. Hi, Wynn.
Hey, I pushed the wrong button. Carla's not here.
Carla's not here, correct.
I just spoke to her.
All right.
Well, I could be Maybe she doesn't know the number. Okay, maybe. Okay, Terry, are you there?
Yes, yeah. He is. Here's Carla. Hi, Carla.
Hello there.
Glad you're here.
Oh,
hi, Carla.
Hey, Carla.
Believe it or not,
Carla.
Vin was getting a little nervous.
Carla, I was just going to fetch you. Okay.
To what me?
I was going to fetch you. Fetch.
That's me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you're 1 minute late. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, there you are. Dolly, can you spank me?
I'll have to give you an astral spank. Okay.
I thought you were going to punish me.
I wanted to quit.
I'm not your father. That's your father's job.
Well, he was pretty good at it, too.
He was, huh?
As we have the mics still open,
I just want to tell everybody, I'm sorry that I wasn't here on the weekend. I was completely swamped with something we call homecoming that LNL Research has every year on this weekend. And it's done. It's over. It was fine. I'm so glad that it was successful, and I'm so glad it's over. I'm tired.
I'm glad you're here now, Carla. And before we mute the lines, I just want to check with the callers. If you love Carla, say, hey, Carla, I love you.
Hey, Carla, I love you.
Hi, Carla, I love you.
Oh, hi. You're such a mushball. You know what? People
love you, Carla.
I saw your picture.
I want anyone who's listening, I want you to know that we are not a cult, okay?
This is true.
Yeah, not recording yet. So.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
This is Winfrey. This is September 1st, Labor Day. And Terry and I are in Sedona. Hi's, I sometimes call him our producer, okay? He just got a new name today. He's our cult leader, okay? Because he's such a mushball, all right? But that's okay. It's kind of like, actually, Terry and Carla are mushballs, pretty much, too.
Yeah, you've got a lot of a burden to work with here, with all of these
mushballs,
idealists and dreamers around.
I love to love, and I love to be loved.
You know what's really cool? You know.
Tell me what's really cool.
Well, most of my life, I was looking for love, okay? I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel self-love.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's true. Well, if I found love, I would run the other direction. Mm-hmm. I would feel controlled by it, you know, normal human love.
Uh-huh.
And I'd feel contracted, you know? And so...
Isn't that perverse?
It's like, it's not really perverse. It's not really.
Tell me to understand it because I don't really.
Well, here, I'll explain it to you, okay?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, this is for me. Not for someone else, but for me. I had a big matrix, but I didn't know that. I just know that I felt trapped very easily all the time. And to be feeling loved is like in an ongoing relationship, it pulls you into the other person's matrix, which in most cases was smaller than mine. I didn't know this at the time. I may even be wrong in the way I'm analyzed. Maybe I'm just dysfunctional. Okay? But I would have to constantly escape from feeling trapped. So that's why the troubadour lifestyle worked for me, because I could move on before I got trapped. And I could just go from one place to the other. I could give of my art. I could give of, you know, whatever I had to share. And yes, there was a lot of love there.
And then while people were getting ready to say, oh, Wynn, that's so wonderful. I love you. You're so just terrific. You'd be gone.
Wynn, could we get married, Wynn? You know?
Oh, dear.
Or whatever. Well, you know what? Terry, see, I finally met my match in Terry, okay?
Now, this is Terry Brown.
Terry Brown, right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And probably you as well, okay? Because somehow or another, we can keep thrusting forward and having constant loving interaction, and nobody feels trapped. I hope not, anyway. Okay?
Right.
And it's like, that was my experience for a long time. So when people get mushy and everyone's going to say, oh, we love you, Wynn. And I know you guys love me. I mean, I know there's love. I know there's gratitude. We're doing something so unusual here. And I love you. And I love, we're in a moving experiment, a moving. It doesn't stop. And
right.
As you know, that's why people
can keep
coming.
And we have no agenda
other than bring good energy.
Oh, to serve the creator, of course.
And uplifting energy and to serve the creator. Now, you know, I hate to use that word, Carla. You can use it. If I say serve the creator, it sounds like I'm a slave. I would say it in this way for myself.
Love. To serve the love.
Yeah, you know, to be a catalyst in this realm for the most upliftment possible for the most people.
Uh-huh.
And at one, in harmony with the law of one and the one infinite creator. You know, when you say serve the creator, now I know that's your terminology, but immediately it sounds like, oh, I got to do what somebody else says. And it's very interesting because
how would you put your intention then? Because
how would I say it? How would I say it?
Say that.
I would like to use my life for the maximum contribution into this realm from the highest of sources, and allowing it to flow through me. But, you know, the thing about this, as you know, I think you know this, is no one tells you what to do. You have to think. If anyone's telling you what to do, you're probably not dealing with really high sources, okay?
Right.
The high sources don't tell you what to do. And when you say serve the creator, it sounds like, well, tell me what to do, creator. I'm a service to you, you know? Well, that's the connotation of it. I know you're not like that, but when I hear it, you know, that's, you know.
Well, if you can find a better way to say it, I'm totally open.
Well, you can say it your way, all right? I know what you mean, okay?
Uh-huh.
I know what you mean. It's just that I couldn't say those words out of my mouth. And, you know, if somebody that just came in to the call was hearing us for the first time, and they heard, I'm here to serve the creator, they probably think we're a cult. It would sound to them like they have to give up some of their sovereignty to serve something else. And the one thing I have learned is if you're going to, quote unquote, serve the creator, then you have to be a subset of the creator and create from your own consciousness into this realm. It's not about following rules, because following rules, what is the energy that makes things work here is co-creation.
Mm-hmm.
In co-creation, there's no rule. There's no, like, he said I should do this, he said I should do that. There's no rules. And it's through co-creation that you bring in intermingling matrices that allow the higher matrices to flow into those smaller matrices, and then make a connection. So there's nothing that we do here that makes anyone, how would I say it, any sense of obligation. This is not even obligation, okay? This is not obligation, what I'm going to say. It's just that to get the maximum impact of the energies that are present on this line, you have to be operating for the highest good of all concerns. You have to be honoring free will. And that makes you a good participant and a good student of learning how to do this. But you can't learn how to do it by going to college and, say, mastering a certain course. You learn by doing it. The way I learned is, man, you just have to do it. You have to jump in. You have to be willing to make mistakes. You have to say, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, let's see what happens if I do this. Oh, that didn't work. I'll do this. Oh, God, everyone got mad at me. I'll do this. And that is the way you refine your act. You learn by making mistakes. You learn by experimenting. And you learn while you're doing all of this, you have a high intent. And you don't get caught up in worldly things, like everyone saying, wow, we love you, or wow, this is great.
I mean, all the world's a stage, so you just go with that.
It's like we share love on this line. We share love.
Yeah.
And your love is just as important as mine. I just happen to be perhaps a couple steps ahead in learning how to create out of that energy.
You're
learning. You know, one thing I thought after our call yesterday that I just wanted to add, when you're on our call, particularly our Sunday call, and at the end of the call, you're feeling really joyous, and some of you I know feel that, you know, the pattern is you feel that joy, you feel that connection, and then you usually fall backwards into the old patterns, and then you feel the joy again, and you fall backwards. And it's kind of like a sine wave that goes higher, because as you keep doing it, you get better at holding it. And it's okay. That's the process. But one thing I thought is that when you're in that moment of feeling the joy after a conference call, it is a good time to call people. Say hello. Just greet them. And I notice there, I go through cycles. And I learn to identify my cycles. So there's certain days that I am.
You got your tricycle and you got your bicycle.
Right. My tricycle and my bicycle. Uh-oh. Carla, do you think you're Robin Williams?
I'm not nearly as fast as that cat.
No, but the point is, if you notice your cycles, when you're at the top side of a cycle, is a good time to make a difficult phone call, like if I'm going to call Coast to Coast and say, geez, can I get on? I want to be at the top of my cycle when I call.
Yeah.
And if you have certain people that you know are really depressed and that would like to hear from you, best to call them when you're at the top side of your cycle. And what happens is, as you keep doing things, not just sitting there meditating, but doing things that express you when you're at the top side of your cycle, you keep planting that energy in the world. And so over a period of time, it starts to integrate and grow, because you call these people at the top side of your cycle. They got uplifted. You got the job because everyone heard your joy, and if everyone wants a joyful person in their office, they don't know they're going to see you at the downside of your cycle as well. So hopefully, just be polite when you're in the downside of your cycle and do a really good job. And then when you're on the downside of the cycle, that's the time where you don't need personal charisma. That's the time to clean your house, do tedious work, things that need to get done, but you don't need to be charming to do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you could be the most charming house cleaner in the world, but, you know, if you can hold it all the time, because I can't, I go up and down, and this is how I've learned to work with my cycles. Now, tonight we have, let me just say, Saturday we're doing another Law of One, and you know what? I think it's session 9. What do you think, Carla? Is it session 9?
It's what?
Is it session 9? Do you
session
remember?
Session 9. It could be. It's definitely over 6.
Definitely session 9.
It's definitely session 9.
Isn't
okay.
that amazing? And those are 3 hours apiece, guys.
Yeah, you know, if you've never been on one of these calls and you sign up, you get all of our previous calls. You know what? We, in this group, we have no shortage of content. It's like, why in the world would you want to have 30 hours of the Law of One Made Simple series? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's because every moment you spend paying attention to these higher sources, if you're the right person, it starts to holographically connect you with them. And it's subtle. You know, it's subtle because you're dealing with the Law of One, and in the Law of One, there is no them. You guys realize that? There's no us. It's all one. But we have this illusion in this realm that there's an us and a them. But as you integrate these higher intelligences, higher consciousness, expanded holograms into your space, you start to expand. And it's subtle. It's not a linear process. But it's like the first thing is you hear about this stuff. And you have to say, I have to say this, can this be real? I mean, is there really a rod loop that is channeling through this woman, Carla Rucker? And when you read it, it sounds more far out than Star Trek. You know, it does. It sounds like beyond Star Trek. I mean, is there really a group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm that's out there that's trying to help us? Well, how do they help? I want them. Could you heal me? Could you do this? Could you do that? Well, the way they help is by you learning to become one with them. And as you become one with them, you expand your possibilities. And that goes with the Ra group and the Elohim group. Some of you may have more affinity to one or the other. Some of you will have affinity with both of them. But the more you let this stuff integrate into yourself, this may not work for everybody, but I know it works for a lot of people. If you let it integrate, you start to expand in a very subtle way. And as you live your life, things shift. You have more synchronicities. People like you better. You start smiling. You're happier. And so if that's true and you're the right person, then you cannot listen to enough of this stuff. And
I think it feels really good.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, you're going to feel good when you start thinking about this stuff.
But the problem with
The
problem with the raw material is that it's so sophisticated, it's so smart that you can read it, and you read one paragraph. So not all the paragraphs are like this, but you read, even me, when I first read it, I read one paragraph. I said, huh? What'd they say?
I'm going to read that one again.
Yeah. Well, I might have had to read it 20 times before I got it, you know? And we're talking about a Greek soul, which is, it's hard to find the right words, but the word I'll use is in one of the major, maybe the major positive administrator of our realm from the higher realm. And what does an administrator from the higher realm do? Well, they move souls from one planet to another to continue their evolution. Can you imagine that? That there's a source up there that moves souls from one planet to another? Can you imagine there's a source up there that can talk to you in your dreams and help you relieve your karma? Can you imagine there's a source up there that can do all that? You can't believe it. I mean, if I was in church, I'd say, there we go. Then we must be talking about God, because that sounds way too far out. Well, of course, we're all part of God. We're all part of all that is. And Carla Rucker brought that source into grounding communication on this level, so they could tell us with no hold barred who they were, how they did it, and how to work with them. And she did it at a huge sacrifice to herself, because this is so controversial that there are negative beings, we call them service to self, that didn't want this information into this realm grounded, because inherently within this information, and I have the information we're doing, is the potential to shift this entire realm. Because if enough people, it's not about believing it, it's about using it and learning how to integrate the energy field of the higher realms into your life in an ordinary way. And you know, they said it, this may have come through David Wilcock, I don't know if it came through Wilcock or Carla, but as you study us, we study you. You can bet your bottom dollar, I believe that as we're talking about them now, they are here. Just, I mean, we know the Elohim are here, and I would bet dollars to donuts, the Ra group is here. And, you know, when this was first starting for me, I started getting dream messages. I mean, I was crazy. I'm writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. My friend is channeling a source that says they created the universe. And then a couple months later, I get messages in my dreams that are verbal, make sense. And I'm pretty sure those messages were coming from the rocket. And that's one of the ways they work with us. And you may know, people get dreams. I had a question with Terry the other day. People get dreams, and you don't even remember your dreams. But you don't have to remember them for them to be effective. And the topic of the conversation with our sources, private conversation, which I'm going to put out, so just be patient, was can people release karma through their dreams? And they said, yes. And I said, who does that, the Ra group or the Elohim group? And they said, more so the Ra group. They're easier to connect to your realm. They have the track record of being there. And I said, well, how does someone get this to happen? And they said, when you go to sleep, just ask them to come in, and that doesn't mean it's going to happen. I don't, you know, I'm not going to make your expectations go up. And you may not remember, but just say, if there's anything I can go through in my dream state that helps me to not have to go it in the physical, let me know, okay? I'm open. And it's probably good also to read the material of the Ra group before you go to sleep, or listen to the Law of One Made Simple series, all the audios we have before you go to sleep, because that brings you into a resonance with the energy of it. Carla?
Yeah.
You see how good I am at marketing?
You're excellent, son. You really are.
I'm saying, so therefore, be sure and attend our call Saturday. We're going to do another call tomorrow. I'm going to invite all the new people on our list that don't know who Carla is. And it's just a new introduction. Not, you know, you can come. I'll send it to you. But it's mostly for people. You know, I got a lot of people on our list that never listen to a conference call that really don't know what's going on. They signed up. They got the free book. Maybe they didn't read it. Who knows? You know how people are. So I'm going to invite them to this free call tomorrow. But on this particular call,
because I think it is fun, you know.
What's fun?
And for us to be with you, because, you know, we can just vibe, enjoy each other's vibes.
So yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if any of you ever looked up the raw material on Amazon, okay? And, you know, I read this all before I started working with Carla. And the idea that we would become comrades, so to speak, and that, you know, when I was involved in my channeling experiences, when and now, I was scared to some extent to tell Carla because it was so far out. I said, geez, if Carla doesn't like it, maybe I got a negative source. You know, that's one of the things that I learned from Carla. And I had to analyze our material for a long time to try to learn how to tell the difference between a negative source and a positive source, because it's really, really subtle. But here is the first review in Amazon. And I'm doing this because Carla has made herself so available on our calls, and some of you are aware of this, and some of you may not be, and that really Carla, amongst many people, is legendary in the work she's done. She's influenced more people, and she doesn't even know who she's influenced. She gives her materials away for free on her website. Nobody is ever denied. And I want to read to you this review. I told Carla, Carla, you should put this review on the front page of your website. No, I don't want to do that. I understand why she doesn't, because it's very hard to toot your own horn. It's even hard for me to toot my own horn. Hi, I'm great. This is Wynn. I am talking to the Elohim. They created the universe. Come hear me. I do say it, and probably people think I'm a nutcase. Carla.
Yeah.
You don't like tooting your own horn, do you?
Well, I see no reason to do that. I think that when people are ready, they're going to check me out, check out what we offer. And if it's of help to them, then wonderful. You know, that's the whole point. It isn't about selling anything. It's about serving the Creator. And see, there's that
She did it again.
I did it again.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna take it. Can I take issue with you?
Go ahead.
On something? When you say when people are ready, okay? I would like to take issue with that statement, okay? And here's why. I would say it this way. There's millions of people who are ready, but what they're ready for never crosses their eyes. And unless the person who has the material and is confident in the material puts it out so it has to cross somebody's eyes, then they're not going to find it. The trick is that when you put something out that crosses people's eyes, oftentimes you're doing it in a broadband way. So it crosses the eyes of the people that are ready, but it also crosses the eyes of the people you wish didn't know you existed. And that is the hard part. How do you put something out that has value for people that doesn't cross the eyes of people you wish didn't know you existed? Do you follow? Does that make sense?
Say that again.
All right. You know what? You have, when you say it'll find the people that are ready, I'm saying it will find people only if it's put out where they have some way to find it.
Yeah.
They have to see something or hear something. And if no one puts it out where they can, like if you didn't put up a website, no one would know you existed properly, okay?
Right.
If you didn't go to a publisher and publish the books, no one would find you. It's like you got to put something out in the physical so people can find it. The problem with this work is learning how to put things into the... When you put things out in the physical world and you're putting it out in a neutral way, like an advertisement, for example, you end up attracting the people that are looking for it, but you also end up attracting the people that you wish you didn't want to be, no, okay? Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Do you follow that?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you know, if you put something out in a big splash, you're going to attract people of a negative surface to self disposition that say, oh, my God, we can't let her do that. Right? You already had that. That's why you had the experiences that are talked about in book five. So the trick is how to put it out so it reaches more people without attracting negative attacks, either in this realm or the higher realms.
Okay.
In fact, I think Ross told you not to put it out, right? Or to not to advertise
it. Exactly. Don said that he wanted to get it out to all of the world for free, make it available to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, there were no computers and no internet, and I was slightly panicked. How do I do this thing? And
how
then,
do you do it, right?
Like a miracle, the computer came along, and people began having them. They could afford them, and the internet was... offered another miracle because people could search around on it and find whatever they wanted to find out. You know, it's the most incredible source of information you can imagine. And it's so much better than a library in that you can surf around on it from subject to subject without losing your connections.
It's bigger than a library, right?
I'm a librarian, but I'm crazy about the computer. I think it's sort of training wheels for fourth density.
Right. So, yeah, I think the internet is a model of a group soul, but it's a group energetic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, electrical device. It's like, for example, if you were a group soul, let's suppose you're in the Ra group. I'm not sure, but if I was imagining how they interact with each other, they're individuals in that group. They're not a glom.
Right.
You know, they're not, you know, they're individuals.
They're not honeybees buzzing around.
Yeah. And they all have their individual talents and abilities. And it's like, I would imagine they all know what each other's talents and abilities are. You know it. So they can just immediately tune in.
Well.
Yeah. So they can find any information because one of them knows it and the other doesn't know it, and then they share it, you know?
That's right.
And they do it very fast because they're working in a realm where there's no speed is totally fast.
No resistance.
Now, I wanted to read this interview from Amazon. I wasn't going to forget.
Okay.
There is a lot of channeled material out there, some good and some not so good. I think it is important to use discernment when reading channeled material. Just as it is important to use discernment when reading anything or when listening to a preacher talk. ultimately, the truth is made is inside us, but we don't know it. So it helps us to have it confirmed by outside sources. Sometimes we come across something that has the ring of truth in it, and we know it is appropriate for us in this point of time in our lives. Not necessarily appropriate for everyone at all times, or even for ourselves at all times, but appropriate in the now for where we are at right now. Thus, I have encountered many books and other sources of info that have all had varying degrees of what I consider truth, but no one of them being the truth. I have long ago dismissed the Bible as the truth, but consider it to have some truth in it, while most of it has been distorted. The Law of One books are the closest I have found to being the truth. Many of the channeled works out there are cheesy, and they come across too authoritative, i.e., in such and such a year, this will happen. That is the way it is, etc. Ra, on the other hand, does not claim to be an authority. Rather, this entity repeatedly tells us to please use discernment and accept only that which resonates as truth within ourselves, then proceeds to give us info that totally rocks your socks off. This stuff is very, very deep. I have never read anything else, channeled or not, that even comes close to such high caliber. It is just completely obvious to me that the info really is coming from a higher being, because there's no way anyone could have made all this up. Okay, maybe someone could have. Hi, Carla, did you make this up? You know, here we are. You guys are lucky enough. Here we are. That Carla comes to our calls as a regular participant, supports the energy. I won't read this. I'll just see. There's, how many reviews are there? This is like 2 months ago. I have recently purchased this book due to the recommendation of a dear friend. I am only page 130, and wow. Wow is what I am saying. Amazing book with so much information normally not available around us. As a reader, revalue the priorities we live by. Now, let me just give a negative review here so we'll be fair. I can't read the rest of the Raw books after reading this one. I couldn't take it seriously. The questions were incredibly trivial, and I am open to it, possibly, but that's what I'm going to read. Here's another one. I have read this book 30 years. Let me see. I'm convinced. 30 years later, we learned quantum physics researchers here verified the channel teachings of Ra and the nature of the physical universe. Well, in any case, the Ra material is a masterpiece, and I am so honored to be working with Carla. And you know what? Carla validates Terry. I was really scared for a long time. I said, Carla's not going to like Terry. She's going to think she's weird. Terry is weird, but she's been listening to our calls for a long time. It was embarrassing. The first time Carla listened to a call and Terry was channeling, I mean, I avoided that for a long time, Carla, because I said, what if Carla doesn't like this? And so,
but it's not a matter of liking it or not liking it. It's a matter of recognizing in another channel the integrity that is necessary to have if you are going to offer information without bending it or twisting it or using it. Terry never does that. It's perfectly obvious to me, and it was obvious from the very first that Terry was a genuine, honest channel. And so, you know, without saying, well, this part's good and that part's not good, you don't do that with channels. All they're doing is the best they can. You take it or leave it. You don't say, well, could you do better here? Well, no, you couldn't do better. If you wanted to, you know, you would have done better. This is it. You know, take it or leave it. And Terry is a genuine, beautiful channel. And I say, yay you, girl.
Now, Carla, you see what you just did? You said, now I'm going to take that. I'm going to use it to market Terry, okay?
Did I do that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, thank you very much. You see, this is marketing. Because, you know, when somebody says something with passion and conviction, that energy carries when somebody else reads it, just like those things I said. And that's what makes someone curious, okay? I mean, I want to do it with your permission, but I'm sure it's for the highest good to do to use these things as tools. And, you know, the deal is when somebody talks about you, when you think they're really talking about you, that's when you, you know, you think, well, if I repeat that, everyone's going to think I'm self-aggrandizing. So you don't want to repeat it. It's like learning how to repeat something and stay in the zone where I'm not talking about myself. That's not me. That's somebody's experience that they have with this work. And if somebody reads that experience, they may say, I want that kind of experience as well. And Terry, are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am.
Did you blush when Carla said that?
Yeah.
Yes. We're not in the same room, you know. I just know Terry. All right. Well, that's what makes you a good channel, you know, because you all, you know, when a person is totally dedicated to being, and I'm going to use the word service work, to being a service, and they're not. You know, this is a duality. So, you know, because we charge for something and we get the money and it goes into our bank account, doesn't mean there's any compromise in our service. It's that's part of the physical body aspect of this thing. See, the Ra group and the Elohim groups, they don't need any money. I mean, they'll just come in and they'll talk all day. They love it. But how does the guy who's representing them pay their bills? How do they maintain themselves and eat? That's where, when you guys buy things that we're selling, then you're helping with that maintenance, and it's okay. And it helps. It's an expression of the gratitude of being there. So there we go. I did another commercial. Donations.
So what is it we're doing tonight? Exactly.
Here. I'm about to read. I got 10 minutes left, and we're going to look at book 5, okay? And Carla's thinking, I wish Wynn would shut up. Let's get to what we're supposed to do.
Right.
All right. This is, I was just going to read some of the things, a couple things in book 5 and discuss them. And book 5 is labeled at some of the things that were not put in book 1, 2, 3, and 4, which had to do with the personal
material personal to us.
Personal
about
living,
our lives,
like,
and stuff. Don didn't want that in there because he felt that he wanted to allow people to focus strictly on the spiritual message that the Ra group was offering, and not get so interested in, you know, our lives.
Well, what are some of the kind of questions that were covered in book 5? I know one of the things is that you were having these terrible negative attacks, and there were lots of questions about how to stave off these attacks from Don. Isn't that correct?
That's right, and they really did help a lot.
They did.
Well, you know, they just said, you know, focus on love. And
now,
that is your strength. They said basically, that we were utterly naive and completely incompetent, but we had good hearts and we were really, really wanting to serve.
Uh-huh.
That the strength of that desire seemed to be enough to be something that the negative guys couldn't work with. They couldn't get into it. They couldn't change it. They would tempt us with this or that, and we would just ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Let me read here. I'm open to page.
Them, you know?
Yeah, I'm open here to this page where they talk about how resistant and difficult Carla is or was. Remember that?
No, I don't.
All right. I'm going to ask you now.
Okay. Here we go.
I am Ra. I am again with this instrument. We are close to initiating a contact, but we are having difficulty penetrating a certain mental tension and distraction that are somewhat characteristic of this channel. We
will
therefore describe.
That wasn't me.
Oh, they're talking about Don there?
Yeah.
Oh. Excuse me. Because you were the channel. Was Don channeling too? Or they were talking about the group.
This is the first session, right? And they were trying to get, they were trying to find as many channels in the group as they could. So after they got me, then they tried to get Don and they tried to get Leonard. Those were the three people that were meditating.
All right.
Teaching Leonard's channel.
I take it back.
So they couldn't get Leonard and they couldn't get Don, so they had to settle for me.
They were talking about Don being a resistant guy. So you're...
Uh-huh.
Not you, sorry. This is how rumors get started, okay? The instrument will find us entering the energy field at a slight angle towards the back of the top of the head in a narrow but strong area of intensity. We are not able to offer any conditioning due to our own transmitting limitation. Therefore, if the instrument can feel, the instrument being Don here, not Carla, can feel this particular effect, he may then speak our thoughts as they come to him. We will attempt this contact. I am Ra. Ra, the instrument is resisting our contact. However, we assure you that we are satisfied that contact with the one known as Don is not preferable to that instrument. We will therefore move on to the one known as Leonard. Again, we caution the instrument that it is a narrow band of communication which is felt as a vibration entering the aura. We will now transfer the contact. I am Ra, so they went to Leonard. We greet you once more in the love and light of our infinite creator. We ask that you be patient with us. We are a difficult channel to receive. We may perhaps add some dimension to your understanding. At this time, we would be glad to attempt to speak to on any subject or question which those entities in this room may have potential use in requesting. Now, Carla, that was through you, yes?
Right.
Yeah, and they were talking about Don and
Leonard.
And Leonard, let's just jump down
Leonard,
here and find
Leonard
another.
Leonard disappeared after that. He didn't. He wasn't part of the group after that. He just happened to be there when I first got the contact.
Now, you know, in February 1981. This is interesting. This is a question, I guess, from Don about Dwight Eisenhower, if he met with other Confederation, if he either the Confederation or the Orion Group in the 1950s. Now, Carla, what made Don ask that question?
Well, there were rumors. Always, there always had been rumors that there was a meeting between Eisenhower and extraterrestrials at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of very knowledgeable people in the military felt that this actually had happened. And Don was, as always, trying to check it out. Is it right? Mm-hmm. Is it real? You and he have a lot in common. And so he said, you know, there's this story, and we would like to know if it's true. And what happened? And so they said
Let me read the answer, because I'm on the page here.
Okay.
I'll just let you hear their words, okay? By the way, I wanted to add, do you know who Laura Eisenhower is?
Granddaughter.
That's right. And she knows this happened. She's actually talked about it publicly,
right.
Okay? The one of which you speak met with thought forms which are indistinguishable from third density. This was a test. We, the Confederation, wish to see what would occur if this extremely positively oriented and simple, congenial person with no significant distortion towards power happened across a peaceful information, across peaceful information and the possibilities which might attend therefrom. We discovered that this entity did not feel that those under his care could deal with the concepts of other beings and other philosophies. Thus, an agreement reached then allowed him to go his way, ourselves to do likewise, and a very quiet campaign, as we have heard you call it, to be continued, alerting your peoples to our presence gradually. Events have overtaken this plan. Is there any short query before we close? So there it is. They're talking about meeting with Eisenhower. Now, they didn't talk about the Eisenhower meeting with the negative side, did they? Yeah,
well,
sure
no,
they
that was a separate deal. And actually, the military made quite a few deals with extraterrestrials of the service to self orientation because there were things that they wanted from us, and they were willing to bargain. And so we got, or the military got technology, which they were able to use mostly for military things at first, but then they sort of got out into the regular world, and a lot of the things that we have now are because of that. And unfortunately, they, you know, bargained away more than they should have, and it was not wisely done. And it continues to this day. My husband is much more of an expert on this than I am. You know, I had to get him on the show sometime and have him talk about it, because he's got a lot of information, and it's fascinating. It really is. And it's backed up. It's an endless footnote, Bill, you know.
Okay, let's look at another thing here.
We're about to leave, Evan.
Huh?
We have one more minute on BBS.
I know. I'm watching the clock here. All right. But thank you. Paul, you know, it looks like I'm not paying attention, but I am. Paul has received information that there were other beings aiding in the construction of the pyramid, but they were not fully materialized in the third density. They were materialized from the waist up to their hands, heads, but were not materialized from the waist down to their feet. Did such entities exist and aid in the construction of the pyramids? And who were they? Ra, consider, if you will, the intelligent infinity present in the absorption of livingness and beingness as it becomes codified into intelligent energy due to the thought impressions of those assisting the living stone into a new shape of beingness. The release and one of intelligent infinity and the use of intelligent infinity for a brief period begins to absorb all the consecutive or the material or interlocking dimensions, thus offering brief glimpses of those projecting to the material their thoughts. These beings thus beginning to materialize but not remaining visible. These beings were the thought forms of the third density visible manifestation of our social memory complex as we offered contact from our intelligent infinity to the intelligent infinity of the stone. Okay, that's why the law of one made simple is important, okay? Because no one understood that. Did you understand that, Carla?
Well, yeah, I understood that, but I've been a researcher in this field for some time.
Yeah, I mean, I could go back and read it slowly, and I would get it, but I realized how many things they were saying in that short paragraph that it's very hard to track because they're referencing experiences that are you don't even have words for in the vocabulary and trying to find the words to apply to those experiences. So a lot of the material we go through on our Saturday Law of One sessions is like that. We take something like that, and we take it apart so you grasp it. Then when you read it again, you'll understand it. So on that note, it is time to end this call. I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank Carla so much for working with our group and being here, and Terry so much for holding the space for this, and all of you so much for being part of this crazy experiment of bringing energy from these higher dimensions into this realm in a way you can experience it.